Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Brochos Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Following the conclusion of our regular Daf Yomi Gemara Shiur, we will offer a supplemental Shiur covering the Tosfos of our Daf for those who are interested. Today's shiur begins four lines from the top of Daf Hey. You will notice that there is a bracketed section of Gemara that lasts quite a few lines. If you notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a vertical dash dotted line, this indicates the length of the bracketed section. During our last shiur, at the end of our last shiur, we started a discussion concerning Kriya Shema al Hamita. Following the bracketed section, the Gemara will continue discussing the topic of Kriya Shema al Hamita, that is, the Kriya Shema recited before one goes to sleep. Within the bracketed section, there will be comments made by Rav Levi Bar Chamo. The connection between this bracketed section and the previous Gemara is very simply that the opening comment of Rav Levi Bar Chamo involves a quote and a discussion around the pasuk that was quoted at the end of our previous year at the bottom of Daf Dalid Amud Beis, the pasuk of Rigzu V'al Sechato, etc. So now that the structure of the Gemara has been mapped out a bit, you'll notice some of the markings that we have. A diamond with a colored in tip is featured on the outside margin under our mivneh, our structural note, where we've written Memros Shreb Levi Bar Chamo. So you see one here, and a few lines later another comment of his. There will also be a double underline with dots in it. Those are shlavim, stages, but lechimo neged yetzahara, in one's battle against the evil inclination. Now the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Levi Bar Chamo, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Le'olam Yargiz Odom Yetzer Toiv Al Yetzer Hara. One should arouse his positive, his good inclination, and have it war against his Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Shenema Rigzu V'Al Sechato. Rigzu having to do with arousing wrath. Often it's referred to wrath. In this case, we'll say it's a reference to battle and thereby avoid sin. Im nitzcho mutav, if with that effort you are nitzcho, successful, and defeat him, then mutav, then very good. V'im lav, if one's positive inclination is not successful in defeating the Yetzihara, then yasok b'tura, engage in Torah study. Shenemar, imru bilavavchem. This being a reference to Torah study. V'im im nitzcho mutav. If that is successful, then good. V'im lav, yikra kriya shma. Shenemar, al mishkavchem. The al mishkavchem is a reference to kriya shma, very likely because it says u'bishachbecha in the kriya shma. So if that is good, im nitzcho mutav, im lav, we get to the fourth stage, then yizkor loy yoyim hamisa, remind, one should be reminded of the day of death, that a person's evil inclination is an attempt to lead a person astray, to have momentary pleasure, but at the expense of pain later. So if one recounts that he eventually dies, and that he'll have to pay for all these momentary pleasures, that may serve to stop him from engaging in that, and therefore that will be his success. Shinemar, the reference to Yom HaMisa, to the day of death, is, it says in the pasuk, V'domu Sela. Domu has to do with silence, Sela, permanent silence, death. The Omar Rav Levi Bar Chama, Omar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, my dichtiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk ve'etno lecha es luchos ha'evin v'hatura v'hamitzvah asher kosafti lehoyrosam? The Gemara now breaks this pasuk down into its various parts, showing what is referred to here when the Almighty says, "I gave you these things." So, what did He give us? Luchos elu aseres hadibros, the Ten Commandments. Torah ze mikra. Rashi points out, ze mikra chumash, she mitzvah likros b'torah. Mikra is a reference to chumash, the five books of the Torah. V'hamitzvah zu mishnah. Mitzvah is a reference to the mishnayos, which is the foundation of the Torah shebal peh, the oral Torah. Asher kosafti elu neviim uksuvim. So that where Mikra was a reference to Chumash, Asher Kosafti is a reference to the prophets and the writings, namely the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, which we call Nach. Lahoyroisam ze Gemara. The Gemara is an extension, if you will, or an explanation of the Mishnayos, which is an elaboration of the Torah Shebal Peh. Now the Lahoyrosam literally is to offer rulings. So the Rashi explains why Gemara is alluded to by the word Lahoyrosam. So Rashi says, Zeh Gemara, Svoras Tameh HaMishnayas, the explanation of the Mishnayas, Shemimenu Yotze Horah, from the Gemara there comes forth legal rulings. Aval Hamurim Horah Min HaMishnah, however, one who rules based on Mishnah learning alone without the Gemara, Nikru Mevale Olam, they are considered the destroyers of the world. In other words, only error will result from one who rules from Mishnayos. The Gemara continues, Melamed, this posuk teaches us, Shekulam Nitnu Lemoshe Misinai, all of these, whether it be the Torah Shebiksav and the Torah Shebal Peh, all of this was given to us from Sinai. It's a public revelation may have been later, as is the case with the Nevi'im and the Ksuvim, but the foundation, the cornerstone of all those teachings were given from Mount Sinai. And this kind of statement serves to accentuate and emphasize the significance of certainly the Torah Shebal Peh in the eyes of the public, namely that it is a companion, if you will, an equal to the formal Torah scroll, the Torah and its psukim that everyone is quite familiar with. So in addition to that, everything was given, all of these things were given to us from Sinai. We glance at the outside margin under our nosei. We have a nosei and we've written hemshech, meaning a continuation. This is a continuation of the Kriya Shema L'Amitah topic. And mivneh, the structural note, here we combine them into one. Triangles appear with colored in tips. They are Memros Shel Reb Yitzchok Binyan Kriya Shema Al HaMitah. The dashed underline is emphasizing the expressions Kol HaKuri Kriya Shema Al Mitaso. And one point is Oiches Cherev Shel Shnei Pifios. It's as if he's holding a double-edged sword. And a second point, Mazikin Bedelin Heimenu, evil forces, evil spiritual forces will distance themselves from he who says Kriya Shema Al Mitaso. The Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol HaKuri Kriya Shema Al Mitaso, Ki Lo Oiches Cherev Shel Shtei Piyos Biyadoi. It's as if he is holding a double-edged sword to kill the demonic forces. Shenema Roimimois Kael Begroinom V'cherev Pifios Biodom. That's a posuk. The Gemara asks, "My mashma, how do you see this posuk as a reference to Kriyashma?" Omar Mar Zutra Vite Moravashi Me Reisho Dinyona. You look at the earlier part, and you'll see that it's referring to Kriyashma. Dichtiv Yalzu Hasidim Bechavoid Yerananu Al Mishkevoisom. In other words, the pious ones say praise on their beds. Mishkevosam, we've dashed underlined that, and we've seen already that Mishkevosam is a reference to, at times, to the Kriya Shema. Uksiv Basre, Royumois Kel Begroinum, Vecherev Pifios Biodam, and the double edged sword is referred to right afterwards. So that you see that one who says Kriya Shema Mitaso, it's as if he's holding this double-edged sword. The Omar Reb Yitzchak, Kol HaKurei Kriya Shema Al Mitaso. Before we go further, we have some more markings to feature, and we've done this on the outside margin. The house form will be coming up, and that highlights the expressions Mazikin or Yisurin. Another marking that appears is a bow tie shape. Simun, this marking, litzor kesher ben shnei drushes elu, to create a connection between the two drushes that will follow in the Gemara. Drusha shnia shel Reb Yitzchak, the second drusha of Reb Yitzchak, and Reb Shimon ben Lakish. We want to make a connection between these two drushes, Reb Yitzchak and a drush of Reish Lakish. Gisha zu merumos barashi di ramasu luchume reshef. There's a hint to this approach to that we are taking in Rashi Dibur HaMasul Chumei Reshef. So we now continue with the Gemara, a second comment of Rav Yitzchak. This is the second triangle. The Amar Rav Yitzchak, Kol HaKurei Kriya Shema Al Mitasei Mazikin Bedelin Heimenu. He who says Kriya Shema Al Mitasei, so the evil forces distance themselves from him. Shenema Uvnei Reshef Yagbiu Oif. Gemara explains, "Vein oif ela Torah." The word oif is a reference to Torah. Shenema hatoif einechabo ve'einenu. Hatoif is one who looks aside. You know, it's one who lifts his eyes up or closes his eyes from Torah learning, so it then goes away from him. It's a reference to the need for constant Torah learning. Rashi says, "Hatoif enecho bo, im tichba v'sogarte enecho b'Torah ve'einenu." He mishtachas mimcho. If a person closes his eyes, in other words, a person stops Torah learning, even for a brief amount of time, it's forgotten from him. So far we have this pasuk. It says uvnei reshef yagbiu oif. We have to go through another line of Gemara and then go back to the pasuk to fully understand what is being taught. So far we've established that the word oif is a reference to Torah. The ein reshef elo maziken. The word reshef is a reference to these demonic forces. Shenemar mizei rev roav uluchume reshef veketev meriri. These are names of different kinds of mazikin, of dangerous or injurious forces. Now we go back. If you go back to the opening drusha, the line above the pasuk says v'nei reshef, we just saw in this pasuk as a reference to mazikin is yagbiu oif, which is Torah, will cause them to flutter away, will be lifted away from him. So that Torah, and in this case, the recitation of Kriya Shema Amita, which is an aspect of Torah, will keep the Mazikin away. It may be pointed out that we saw at the top line of this daf, which we learned in our previous shiur, that a Talmud Chacham who is engaged with Torah study doesn't need the Kriya Shema Amita. His Torah study will serve the same purpose, and that in effect is alluded to over here when we say that Oif is Torah, which would cover the Talmud Chacham case as well. The Gemara continues, Omar Rab Shimon ben Lakish, Kol HaOisek B'Torah, he was engaged in Torah study, Yisurin B'Deilin Himenu. Yisurin, afflictions, sufferings, will depart from him, will distance themselves from him. In other words, a person who is engaged in Torah study will be protected from Yisurin. Shenemar Uvnei Reshef Yagbiu Oif. Uvnei Oif Ela Torah. Shenemar hatoif einecho boi veinenu. We saw this pasuk before. We should have pointed out earlier that this pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Chof Gimel, pasuk Hey Hatoif Einecha Bo, is a reference, as are many, many psukim in Sefer Mishlei, references to Torah learning. So that if one allows his eyes to close on Torah learning, it goes away. And the Gemara continues here, V'ein Reshef El Yisurin. We saw Reshef before as a reference to Mazikin. Reshef is also a reference to Yisurin, troubles. Shenema Mizei Ro'ov Uluchume Reshef. Ro'ov is an example of Yisurin. Now there is a Rashi that we made reference to before. Let us look at the Rashi, Uluchume Reshef. That expression is found Ksiv Bein Ro'ov L'Mazikin. That's found between the two expressions, Ro'ov and the Reshef, the Ketev Hariri, which was a type of Mazik. And we see that Nidrosh Lefanov Ul'Achrov, Yisurin U'Mazikin, that this posuk of Ubnei Reshef Yagbiu Oif, and the Bnei Reshef is associated with, being that the expression Bnei Reshef appears, or Reshef appears between Ro'ov, famine, which is Yisurin, and afterwards Ketev Meriri, so that Reshef is associated with both Yisurin, which Rav Shimon Ben Lakish related to, and Mazikin, which Reb Yitzchak related to. So both Mazikin and Yisurin can be counteracted by Torah study. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Lei Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan relates now to Reish Lakish. And before we go further, just take a note that we have there's a long point here on the to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. There's Re is written in, that's Reb Yochanan abbreviated, with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are Reb Yochanan's speech, or response to that which Reish Lakish said. We also have a topic heading associated with this section of Gemara, the Nosei Mivneh, where the Gemara discusses Koichus Shel Torah Mul Yisurim, the strength of Torah against troubles, how Torah learning is a source of protection against troubles. Ma kore lemi she'eino osekor, what happens to someone that doesn't engage in Torah study? We'll see a little later the crown shape used in two directions. The crown shape facing upwards is a reference to someone who is osek b'Torah, one who studies Torah, and when it's flipped over, it's a reference to someone who is eino osek. So now, we had Reish Lakish, who said, he who engages in Torah study is protected from troubles. Omar Lei Rabbi Yochanan. Ha, this idea that Torah protects. Afilu tinoikos shel beis rabon yoydin oiso. Even children who haven't reached in their studies the book of Eov. Eov was the posuk that said, Ubnei Reshef Yagbiu Oif. From which we learn that Oif, which is Torah, protects from Bnei Reshef, which was associated with Yisurin. Rabbi Yochanan says, your pshat is that Torah protects is based on a pasuk in Eov. You don't have to come to a pasuk in Eov to come to teach me that. Even Tinoikis Shel Beis Rabon know that idea that Torah protects, because they have learned it in their Chumash study. Shinemar, the Pasuk says in Sefer Shmois, Vayoymer im Shamoya Tishma Lukil Hashem Elokecha Vayoshur Beino of Taaseh Vazanto Limitzvoiso Vishomarto Kol Chukov. The Almighty proclaims that if you it's proclaimed that if you listen to the word of Hashem and listen to keep his mitzvahs and his Torah and his teachings, all the afflictions and diseases that I placed upon Mitzrayim, I will not place upon you, because I am the Almighty that is the healer. In other words, what do we see? Very simply, the concept of Torah being a protection from disease and from suffering is alluded to in a pasuk in Shmois. The question then is, if that's the case, what about the pasuk? What about the teaching? What should we say alternatively? So that Rabbi Yochanan is challenging Reish Lakish in Reish Lakish's demonstration that a pasuk in Iyov teaches me the Torah protects. No, the pasuk in Shmos already indicates that. Elo, rather, kol she'efshur loy la'asog b'torah ve'eino oisek HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi lo v'yisurin m'chu'orin v'oichrin oso. Rather, anyone who is able to learn Torah and does not, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will bring upon him ugly troubles and sufferings. And cause him to be disturbed. Shenemar, ne'elamti dumiyo hechshesi mitoiv ucheivi ne'ekor. The word ne'elamti in this pasuk has the root elam, shoresh, the root being mute, silent. So ne'elamti dumiyo is one who is silent, mitoiv. And the Gemara says, v'ein toiv ela Torah. Tov is a reference to Torah, so he's silent from Torah. So the pasuk says, "Ukevi neikar." I have these ugly pains that come upon me. Shenemar, the pasuk that indicates that Tov is Torah. The pasuk says, "Ki lekach Tov nosati lochem Torosi al tazovu." So in this pasuk you see Tov in connection with Torah. Hence the pasuk from Tehillim Lamites pasuk Gimel is, as we said, someone who remains silent from Torah learning when he could study, is inviting troubles. Amar Rabbi Zeira v'Tema Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, bo urei shelo kamidas Hakadosh Baruch Hu midas basar v'dam. Come and note that the attributes of the Almighty are different than those of common man. Midas basar v'dam, the way of man is adam moicher chepetz chavero, a person who is in need of selling a personal item because he is in need of funds. What happens? Moicher otzei v'lokeach somech. The person who was under pressure to sell, he's sad when he sells, when he parts with his personal items. He is sad v'lokeach, and the purchaser is happy. He bought something. He bought something that will probably last. Avol hakodesh baruch hu eino kein. But the Kodesh Baruch Hu who had a valuable possession, namely the Torah, he is not like the way of man. Nosan lohem Torah l'Israel, the Somech, he gave away his possession, the Torah, and he, the Almighty, is happy. Shinemar, ki lekach toiv nosati lohem Torosi al tazovu. I gave you this wonderful thing, so you can see there's an expression of joy in this pasuk, and he, the giver of that which he had, is happy. That's a reference to the Almighty. Omar Rava Vitema Rav Chisda, Im Roya Odom Shisurin Boyin Olav, if a person sees that troubles are afflicting him, here we have a couple of stages, and this is almost reminiscent to that which we saw above, with regard to Reb Levi's teaching of Yargiz Odom Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Hara. So he says if a person sees troubles coming upon him, there are a couple of stages, and we've numbered them off. So what should a person do? Yefashvesh v'maisof. He should investigate his ways. Look into his behavior. Shenemar, nachbisod rochkenu v'nachkira. The pasuk indicates one should look into our ways and investigate. The text adds here, Pishpesh Umasa, if a person did investigate his ways and found things that need fixing, Yaseh Tshuva, he should do penitence, Shenemar V'noshuva Ad Hashem. In that same pasuk, it says, and we shall return. Return to the Almighty through penitence. Pishpesh v'lo matza, a person investigated his ways. He looked into his behavior and saw nothing wrong. V'lo matza, didn't find anything worthy of the troubles that he is currently experiencing. In other words, people do have failings, but a person might have some type of
overwhelming amount of trouble that doesn't correspond to whatever failings he noticed in himself. So that's a case of pishpesh v'lo motzi. He investigated, didn't find something worthy of these particular troubles. So yitla bebitul tori, he should ascribe his troubles to his lack of Torah learning, to some type of deficiency in his Torah learning. Shneimar ashrei hagever asher tiasrenu ka umitorascha telamdenu. We take a look at Rashi. Rashi, you'll notice, occupies both columns. So in the outside column of Rashi commentary, Ashrei hagever asher tiasrenu ka umitorascha telamdenu shebishvil yisurin, because of yisurin, because of trouble, sarch odom lovoi lidei Talmud Torah. They should push him into a state whereby he will study Torah. So that the yisurin that a person experiences is a type of wake-up call. The troubles that a person experiences, a type of wake-up call to engage in more Torah study. The im tola, the Gemara goes on, number three, the im tola v'lo matzah, if he tried to ascribe his troubles to some type of lack of Torah study and didn't find, he found that he's studying to his maximum capacity. It should be known that these are yisurin that come from the love of Hashem for an individual. The idea of yisurin shalavo is a person might receive some type of setback or troubles or pains in this world in order to enable him to merit even a greater portion, more than his current merits have. In other words, you have a person who merits a fine portion in the world to come, but he can receive even a greater portion if he experiences these yisurim and maintains his piety throughout the troubles and tribulations. That is yisurin shalava. Shenemar, the Gemara says, the pasuk indicates such a thing. Ki es asher Yehav Hashem, he who the Almighty loves, Yochiach. Yochiach in this context will afflict him with troubles. So at this point we have there's a sugya that we have now that deals with this topic of Yisurin and Yisurin Shel Ava. Omar Rav Huna, Kol Shakodesh Baruch Hu Chofetz Bo, he who the Almighty desires, medakoi b'yisurin, will be afflicted by suffering. Shenemar v'Hashem chofetz dako hecheli. He who the Kodesh Baruch Hu desires will be afflicted by sickness or by trouble. Yochol afilu lo kibla me'ava. Is this the practice of the Almighty, even if the individual, the receiver, doesn't accept them with love and understanding? Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk goes on to say, Im tosim osham nafshoi. Ma osham ledas, the word osham appears in this Pasuk, just like a korban osham is brought with awareness. A person, when he brings a sacrifice, especially a sacrifice that is a source of atonement, so he brings it with full knowledge. Af yisurin ledas, so too yisurin, which is alluded to in the pasuk, must be with das, with a person's approval. Ve'im kiblon olav me'ava, if a person does accept the yisurin with love and allegiance, ma'aschara, what is his reward? So the pasuk goes on to say, yirezera yarich yomim, he will see seed of children and a long life. Not only that, but his Torah learning will remain with him. He won't forget it. Shenemar, the pasuk says over there, the chefetz Hashem biyado yitzloch. Plingi bo Rav Yankiv bar Idi v'Rav Acha bar Chanina. There is a machlokes between Rav Yankov and Rav Acha within this realm of Yisurin Shalava. Chad Omar, Elu Hein Yisurin Shalava. The following are Yisurin Shalava, Kol She'ein Bohen Bitul Torah. Yisurin that don't lead to loss of Torah learning or reduction in Torah learning.
so that troubles and yisurin, pains that a person experiences, but he's able to maintain his same level of Torah study, they may very well be yisurin shalavo. Shenemar ashrei agever asher tiyasrenu ko umitoyros chatzalamdenu. So you see in this pasuk yisurin together with Torah study. So therefore, yisurin, and it says here in this pasuk ashrei hagever, fortunate is the man that has yisurin. So we're dealing with some type of yisurin that are, we'll say, of a fortunate, of a beneficial nature, but that's provided mitoros v'tlambenu, that he's able to continue learning Torah. V'chad omar, the other one of these Amoraic opinions, says, Elu heim yisurim shalavo, the following are considered yisurim shalavo, called she'ein bohen bitul tfila, troubles that a person has that don't result in his inability to daven. Shenemar, boruch Elohim asher lo heisir tfilosi v'chastoi me'iti. So that what you see here is in Tehillim, David HaMelech proclaims that he actually had a lot of suffering, but lo heisir tfilosi, he didn't remove my ability to daven. So that yisurim shalava are those yisurim that don't affect one's ability to daven. Omar luhu Rabbi Abba braid Rav Chiya bar Abba. Hochi Omar Rav Chiya bar Abba. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Here is a third opinion on this matter. Elu ve'elu yisurin shel avohen. Both cases can very well be yisurin shel avo. Shenemar ki es hashir ye'av Hashem yuchiach. So Rabbi Yochanan then is saying that both points that were made, we have the two volcano shapes that we emphasized, we didn't mention before, but you have the points made by Rabbi Yankiv and Rav Acha are both accepted, says Rabbi Yochanan, that which would mean that those kind of troubles that don't have bitul Torah nor have bitul Tfila, those would be categorized as yisurin shel ava, as the pasuk says, "He who Hashem loves will give, will yochiach, will bring yisurin on them." Elamat talmud lomu umitoros chotelamdenu. So then, what is the emphasis in the pasuk that said, Ashrei agever shit yasrenu ko umitoros chotelamdenu? What's the emphasis on Torah? So, as far as the Marsha explains, the pasuk is not dealing with yisurin shel ava according to Rabbi Yochanan. The pasuk that was cited before is not dealing with yisurin shel ava, but rather al tikri tilamdenu. Don't read it as that we shall learn Torah as we originally thought to learn it. Elo tilamdenu, meaning it, the Torah teaches us. Dovar zeh mitorascha tilamdenu, the following we learn from your Torah, namely the following, or more accurately, that Ashrei Odom Asher Kodesh Baruch Hu Me'asro, fortunate is the person that receives Yisurin, is something that we learn from the Torah. Now, how do we learn that a person is fortunate when he receives Yisurin? And we'll have to explain what that means later, once we said that we're not dealing with the realm of Yisurin Shalava. But rather, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we are dealing with this, with the concept of cleansing, that a person who had sins is cleansed through the Yisurin. And this is learned Kal v'chomer mishen v'ayin. It's learned through a Kal v'chomer form of logic that applies to the rule of an Eved Kenani, a slave that a person might own, whose owner knocked out his tooth or his eye. And what is the rule when a slave's eye or tooth are knocked out? Ma shein v'ayin shein echad mevorav shel adam eved yotze ben lecherus. These are two limbs of a person, a shein, a tooth, or an eye. Just they're just one of many limbs. Eved yotze ben lecherus, with just the affliction of one limb, the eved, the slave, can go to freedom. Yisurin shememarkin kol gufo shel adam. Pain and suffering which afflicts the entire body of a person, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so that it can set a person free, in the sense that he's free from whatever sins he may have had. V'hainu de Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, And this is in lines of the teaching of Reish Lakish, the Omar Rav Shimon Lakish, Ne'emar Bris B'melach, Ne'emar Bris B'Yisurin. You find the same expression, Bris, which is translated as a covenant. You find that in the context of salt, and you find it in the context of suffering. Ne'emar Bris B'melach, Dechtiv Al Velo Tashbiz Bris Melach Bris. In the context of sacrifices, the Torah says that you shall always have salt sacrifices, and the pasuk refers to the salt as a symbol of a covenant. The ne'emar bris b'yisurin, the same concept of bris of a covenant, applies to troubles, to suffering. Dichtiv, the pasuk says after the curses featured in the Torah in Parshas Kisavo, it says Eila divrei habris. Right after the curses, it says that. Ma bris homo b'melach, melach mimatekes is a boser, just like bris found in the context of salt. And we know that salt has the characteristic of adding a good taste to meat. Salt gets the blood out of meat. When you salt it, it removes the blood and also gives it a positive taste. Af bris homo b'surin, so too the word bris, which is, as we said, a covenant, that's written in the context of Yisurin. Yisurin memarkin kol avinosav shalodom. The Yisurin have this characteristic of cleansing a person, so to speak, entering the person and removing from him, cleansing him of his sins, and thereby, on the analogy level, giving the person a good taste. Tanya, a Tanaic source, is featured here. As you can see, it appears in a frame. Reb Shimon ben Yochoi Omer, Shalosh Matonos Tovis Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Three wonderful gifts the Almighty bestowed upon the Jewish people. V'kulan lo nosan al yedei elo yedei Yisrael. And all of these, each one of these three gifts, are not achieved other than through pain, through suffering, through strain and effort. Eivul hein Torah Eretz Yisrael va'olam haba. Torah, the land of Israel, and the world to come. In order to achieve these things, a person has to go through Yisurin. Torah minayin. From where do we see this in the context of Torah and Torah learning? Shenemar ashrei hagever asher tiyasrenu ka umitoros chotelamvenu. So that you see Yisurin accompanied with Torah. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that a person, while studying Torah, has to sit on a chair with a nail protruding from the seat. But it does mean that a person has to sacrifice some of what we'll call the earthly physical pleasures and give of himself, strain himself, which is also a form of Yisurin. Deprivation, if you will, giving his all for Torah learning, and through that a person achieves Torah. Eretz Yisrael, dechtiv ki kasher yaser ish es beno Hashem alokecho miasrecha. Uksiv basrei, following this pasuk, which makes reference to Yisurin, it says ki Hashem alokecho miviacho el eretz toiva. And anyone who is familiar with any aspect of history realizes that in order to achieve a holding on Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people have had to go through suffering. Ha'olam haba, dechtiv kiner mitzvah v'torah or v'derech chayim tochus musar. This is a reference to a portion in the world to come, and in this pasuk you see chayim, which is a reference to the chayi olam haba, the future life, and tochus musar, a reference to yisurin. Toni tano kamei de Rav Yochanan, a Tanaic source was taught in the presence of Rav Yochanan. Kol ha'osik b'torah v'gmilas chasadim. And we continue now to the top of Omid Beis, the Koiver Es Bonov, Moichlin Loi Al Kol Avonosov. A person who is engaged in Torah study and righteous deeds and buries his sons, he is forgiven all of his sins. That was a Tanaic source taught in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan speaks up. We have a long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the more text a shin that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says to the one who was saying over this source, he says, Bishlamo Turgumis Chasodim, I understand well, Torah and Gvinus Chasodim, Dechtiv, Bechesed, Ve'emes, Yechupar Ovoin. That through Chesed and Emes, a person's sins are atoned. Chesed Zu Gemilas Chasodim, Shinemar, Chesed is a reference to Gemilas Chasodim, which was mentioned in your source. At the very bottom of Omen Aleph, you saw Gemilas Chasodim. So the pasuk we just read, that through Chesed and Emes there is atonement. Chesed is Gemilas Chasodim, Shinemar, Roidev Stoka V'Chesed, Yinsachayim Stoka V'Chavoy. So that Chesed is associated with righteous acts, as this pasuk indicates. Emes zu Torah, Shinemar, Emes Kinei ve'al timkor. Emes is a reference to Torah, as this pasuk in Mishle indicates, that acquire Emes and don't give it up. Emes, hence, a reference to Torah learning. And we mentioned on a previous occasion that many, many psukim in Mishle are references to Torah learning. Where do you see a relationship between one who buries his sons and atonement from sins? So we have an answer that lasts a couple of lines. You can see the tuf that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, indicating all of these lines form the answer. So Rabbi Yochanan's question is, where is there a basis for associating burial of sons and atonement of sins? Tono le hahu sabo mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Some elderly man spoke up and quoted Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai saying, Asya ovoin ovoin. Through a word comparison, we see this. Ksiv hacha. It says here, Bechesed vemes yichupar ovoin. Uksiv hasam. And it says elsewhere, Umeshalem ovoin ovois elchik b'nehem. So that you see in this pasuk also the word avoin, and it says the sins of the fathers are paid for through b'nehem, through their sons. Through this comparison, we see the idea that a person who buries his sons is afforded with atonement from sin. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, under which we've written Negoyim / Bonim. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan, de Negoyim ubonim einom Yisurim shel Ava. Rabbi Yochanan makes a comment about Negoyim and Bonim as being non-Yisurim shel Ava, and we will have to clarify this a bit further as we go into the Gemara. But before we do that, there is a geometric form, a diamond, that appears very shortly. These represent kushios al hanal. They will be challenges or questions on that which was just said. So we continue now in the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Negoyim ubonim einom yisurin shel ava. Negoyim is associated with the idea of, or the term, tzoras. So it's a type of skin discoloration that is featured in the Torah, that results in tumah and distancing from the community. A person who is deemed to have negoyim is then set aside, away from the rest of the community, and bonim. So right now, all we can say is that he says that negoyim and bonim, the person who's afflicted by these things, whatever they are not yisurin shalava. The Gemara asks, Unegoyim lo, is it so that negoyim are not yisurin shalava? They're not pains of love, where the, as we saw on Amud Aleph, one who experiences Yisurin Shalava, it's a means of granting the person additional merit. The Ha Tanya, we have a Tanaic source. It says, "Call me Shiesh Bo Echad Me Arbo Marois Negoyim Halalu Einon Elo Mizbeach Kapora." Anyone who has one of these four different colors associated with negoyim, these are skin discolorations, they're no less than an altar of atonement. And at superficial glance, we're saying, oh, altar of atonement, that sounds like Yisurin Shalava. So the Gemara has two approaches. The first, Mizbeach Kapora Havu, yes,
it is a form of atonement. Yisur shavo lo havel, but they're not the type of pain that results in increased merit. There's a difference between a person who is, let's say, has sins and needs atonement, cleansing from sins, and a situation where a person is not characterized as having sins, but rather is going to earn additional reward, so that the source itself is not a challenge to that which Rabbi Yochanan had claimed. V'iboyesema, another approach is ha'lon v'ha'lehu. There is that which lon means us, and lehu them. A distinction made between the people of Eretz Yisrael and the people of Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, a person, now following Rashi's pshat, Tosfos has a different pshat, but according to Rashi's pshat, in Eretz Yisrael, there is a rule concerning walled cities. Walled cities have a certain level of sanctity associated with them, which one of its manifestations is that a person who has saras has to be sent out of the walled city. So, since you're dealing with a type of what we call public affair, and a person is sent out of the walled city, Rashi explains, those are not Yisurin Shalava. In Bovel, however, where there is no public manifestation of the Negoyim, there isn't any din of Bote Orechoma, walled cities, and yet he is afflicted with it, those are Yisurin Shalava. So that Rabbi Yochanan's comment, non-Yisurin Shalav, applies to Eretz Yisrael, and the Tanaic source, which seemingly showed that Negoim were Yisurin Shalava, applies to Bavel, or outside of Eretz Yisrael. V'iboyesema, a third approach, ha betzina, ha befarhesia. If it afflicts him, Rashi says, under his clothing, where no one can see it, those are Yisurin Shalava. If it's something that's on a part of his body which is visible, farhesia, those would not be Yisurin Shalava. Now the Gemara turns to the second point that Rabbi Yochanan mentioned. Ubonim loi. Is it so that bonim are not Yisurin Shalava? Hechi domi. What is the case of bonim which you say are not Yisurin Shel'ava? If you're describing a situation where a person had children and they died, and you're saying that's not Yisurin Shel'ava, V'om Rabbi Yochanan, Dein Groma Da Siro Abir. Rabbi Yochanan himself, and we're dealing with Rabbi Yochanan right now, he used to show people the bone or tooth, there are two different explanations of Groma, of Garma, of his tenth son. It's related that Rabbi Yochanan buried 10 children, and he would show people this tooth or fragment bone that he had from his tenth son. According to Rashi, as opposed to Tosfos, or Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos on this, according to Rashi's pshat, it's very simply a person who was of such piety as Rabbi Yochanan and yet experienced this, that would have to be only Yisurin Shel Ava. So how can Rabbi Yochanan's original statement say Bonim is not Yisurin Shel Ava if Bonim means burial of children? That certainly is Yisurin Shel Ava. After all, a pious man like Rabbi Yochanan, as Rashi explains, what other explanation could there be? Ella, ha de lo havu le klal, v'ha de havu le umesu. The case of non-Yisurin Shalava, that's a situation, as painful as it is referring to someone who never had children. That is, albeit it's Yisurin, but it's not Yisurin Shalava. However, a person who has children and he buries them, that would be categorized as Yisurin Shalava. As we said, Tosfos will deal with this in a different way. And for those who are interested in staying tuned to our Tosfos Shir after the Gemara Shir, we will, Mirtz Hashem, get into that. Continuing in the Gemara, actually before we do that, we have some more markings to take note of. And we can do that through the Nosei Mivneh heading that you see in the outside margin. You see a triangle with a colored in tip.
where it says Rebbe and three dots, meaning different Rabbonim will be featured in this Gemara. As you scan down the Gemara, you'll notice a few of these triangles. So the first involves Rebbe Chiya bar Abba, you'll see then Rebbe Yochanan, and then Rebbe Elazar. They took ill, cholash, and the Gemara relates, Maisim shenechlu Rabbonim shonim, incidents where different Rabbonim took ill, v'nichnas Rav acher levakra, a different Rav came to visit them, v'shalo, and in each case, the question is asked, Chavivin olecha yisurin, do you approve of these yisurin that you are receiving? So now, let's take a look at each one of these stories. Reb Chiya bar Abba cholash. Reb Chiya bar Abba took ill. Ol legabe Reb Yochanan. Ol means entered. That Reb Yochanan entered him, entered his presence, meaning he went to visit him. Omar le Reb Yochanan asks, Chavivan alecha yisurin, are literally beloved upon you these sufferings? Do you approve of them? Do you like them? Do you accept them? Omar le Reb Chiya says, Lohein velo sharon, I don't want them, and I forego the reward that they would otherwise afford me. In other words, realizing that they may be Yisurin Shalavo, but I don't want to go through this. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Hav li yodcha, give me your hand. Yohav le yodei, so Rabbi Chiya gave him his hand, v'ukme, and Rabbi Yochanan healed him, enabled him to get up and have his health restored. Rabbi Yochanan cholash. Here we have a story involving Rabbi Yochanan himself. He took ill. Ola gabe Rabbi Chanina. Amar lei. Rabbi Chanina, who went to visit him, asks Rabbi Yochanan, Chavivin alecha yisurin, are you in approval of these of this suffering? Amar lei lo yhein velo schor, not them, not the yisurin, nor the reward. Amar lei hav li yodcha. So Rabbi Chanina says, give me your hand. Yohav le yodei v'ukmei. Rabbi Yochanan gave him his hand, and Rabbi Chanina restored Rabbi Yochanan to his health. The Gemara asks, Amai, why was it necessary for Rabbi Chanina to help Rabbi Yochanan? Lukim Rabbi Yochanan l'nafshei, couldn't Rabbi Yochanan have helped himself? We saw Rabbi Yochanan himself helping Rabbi Chiya just a moment before. The Gemara answers, in this case, he couldn't have done it. Amri, there is a common saying, Ein chovush matir atzmu libeis ha'asurin. The chovush is one who is incarcerated or imprisoned. The prisoner himself cannot release himself from the prison. In other words, an outsider carrying the keys can open the gate, but someone who is inside the cell cannot extricate himself from that situation. Likewise, Rabbi Yochanan could help someone else who was suffering, but when he himself was incarcerated, so to speak, by pain, he could not relieve himself. Hence, he needed the assistance of Rabbi Chanina. This is now the third story, but let's just take note a little bit of structure here. This is a long piece of Gemara, and you see the three to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line shows us the length of Gemara that will be preoccupied with this third incident. But part of it is made up of a bracketed section, and that you can see through the descending vertical dashed dotted line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. These particular brackets we've indicated with a note that you find on the inside margin. If you skim up a little bit, you'll see a starred note where we've written Hesber Hasograyim Einom L'Shem Dilug. These explanations of these remedies, they are not for skipping. Elo lahatzmid she'elas chavivin olecha yisurin. Just, we want to position in the way the previous two incidents had the question of, are you in approval of these yisurin, to the opening of the story. Our purpose in this marking is to show the similarity of Gemara structure to the previous two incidents. So our Gemara continues. Rabbi Elazar cholash. Rabbi Elazar took ill. Ol legabe Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan went to visit him. And if we skip momentarily the bracketed section, you can see Rabbi Yochanan asked, Amar lei chavivan alecha yisurin. Amar lei. He answered. Rabbi Elazar answers, Lohein velo schoran. And the same ending of the story, where Amar lei hav li yodcho yav li yodei v'ukme, just like the other two stories. But now we go back over the Gemara with the bracketed section. Rabbi Elazar has taken ill. Rabbi Yochanan enters to visit. Chaza dehave kogoni bebayis ofel. Rabbi Yochanan noticed that Rabbi Elazar was living in a dark house. A dark house, a house where there's
poverty. We would say there's so little money they can't even afford to have any illumination through candles or other means. Galye ledarei v'nofal nohira. Rabbi Yochanan rolled up his sleeve, and his arm glowed. We could say the idea here is that Rabbi Yochanan was a beautiful individual, so that his beauty cast a ray of light, so to speak. Obviously, there are ideas here that are much deeper than our very simple translation, but that will suffice for now. So that he rolled up his sleeve, and that caused some light to fall on the place. Chazia David Kobochi Rebbe Lozer. Rabbi Yochanan noticed that Rebbe Lozer was crying. Omale, Rabbi Yochanan asked, Amai Kobochis, what are you crying about? And you'll notice we have the double underline used here. These are stages in his trying to figure what is causing Rebbe Lozer to cry. So he asks, E Mishum Torah Dolo Afshis, if you are crying because of Torah that you haven't accomplished, you haven't learned as much as you set out to accomplish, that is not reason for crying. Shonino, we have a teaching, we've learned, Echad Amar Bevechad Amamid, whether it be one who accomplishes a lot or one less, they are viewed as the same, Uvashi Chavim Libo L'Shamayim, provided one's intentions and efforts were directed heavenwards. In other words, a person attempts to accomplish whatever he can, and that is whether it accomplishes a lot or less, it's all equal as long as a person made his maximum efforts. V'i mishum mizoni, if it's because you are lacking funds, you don't have sufficient sustenance, well, that's not a reason for crying per se, because lo kol odom zeche l'shtei shulchanos, not everyone benefits of having both tables, two tables, namely both wealth and Torah scholarship. So you have one, that's enough, so to speak. The E Mishum Boni, and if it's because of children that children that died, well, Dain Groma Da Sira Bir. Behold, this is the bone of my tenth son. So, what are you crying about? Omar Le, so Rebbe Lozer says, Lahai Shufra the Boli Ba'afro Ka Bochina. Shufra's beauty. So, on a very simplistic level, Rebbe Lozer is looking at this point, he's looking at at Rabbi Yochanan, we just described before, as a very handsome, a very beautiful looking person, and he is reminded of the fact that people die and decompose and disintegrate and disappear. So Rebbe Lozer is crying over this beauty that eventually Boli Afro disintegrates into dust. That is what's causing me to cry. It is true, as the Marsha points out, that Rabbi Yochanan is described in Maseches Bava Metzia as a beautiful looking person. However, for that aspect of things to motivate Rabbi Lozer to cry, the Marsha feels there is more to it than just that. So Marsha explains that Rabbi Yochanan was known as a descendant from the families of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan lived, we'll say approximately 100 plus years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say closer maybe to 200 years after the Churban HaBayis. And he was associated with the families of Yerushalayim. When Rebbe Lozer saw Rabbi Yochanan, he was reminded of the beauty of Jerusalem, the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, because of what we just mentioned, Rabbi Yochanan's association with those families. And his cry was over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Gemara continues. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says, Al do vadai kobochis. On that, there is definitely something to cry about. On that which you said, which was the high shufra de boli afro, ubochu shvayon, they both cried. Adahochi vachi, in the meantime, Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Lozer, Chaviven alecha yisurin, do you approve of the trouble, the pain that you are suffering? Amar Lei, lo hein velo schora, not them, not the pains, nor the reward that they could afford. Amale havli yodchos. Rabbi Yochanan says, give me your hand. Yohavle yodei v'ukmei. Rabbi Elozer gave him his hand, and Rabbi Yochanan restored him to health.
Continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin. Under our no say heading, we've written Maise, an incident shechmitzu arba mea chavios yayin sherav Huna, 400 barrels of Rav Huna's wine went sour. Ubiru lama zekora. The Gemara will be investigating why this happened to him. So our Gemara continues on the last narrow line. Rav Huna takifule arba mea doni chamra. Oh, by the way, we should also note a long marking. You notice the Maisa marking on the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The word Maisa is written and encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna takifule arba mea doni dechamra. Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine, takifu as they went sour. Ol legabe Rav Yehuda achfo de Rav Sala chasida v'rabonan. So Rav Yehuda and other rabbis went to visit Rav Huna. V'amri lo, another version by way of names, Rav Ado bar Avo v'rabonan. V'omru le, they said to Rav Huna, Lion mor b'mile. You know, you have this big financial setback. You ought to look into your ways to try to uncover why this has happened. Omar Lahu, Rav Huna says to them, Umi chashidna beinaycho, am I suspect in your eyes? Am I suspect of some sinning that would bring this on? Omru le, so they said to Rav Huna, Mi chashid kutshabrichu de ovid dina below dina. Is the Kodesh Baruch, the Almighty, suspect of bringing troubles upon a person, of visiting the rule of law upon a person without reason? Omar Lahu, Iiko man deshmi alai milso lema. So Rav Huna says, if anyone has heard something concerning me, then let it be said now. Omrule, they said to him, Hochi shmi alon, we have heard about you, delo yohiv mor shavisha la rise. An aris is a sharecropper. It's a worker in a person's fields who shares in the produce on a percentage basis. And the word shavisha is a reference to branches of vines that eventually can serve as fuel. It has value. So they said to Rav Huna, we have heard that you don't give the sharecropper, the worker in your field, his share in branches. Omar Lahu, Rav Huna says back to them, Mi koshavik li midi minei, ha koganiv le kule. Rav Huna says in exasperation to them, he says, does he leave any of them for me? He steals all of them. He steals all of the branches, and you expect me to give him his share in it? So, Omrule, they said to him, Hainu de Amrianchi. It is based on this kind of behavior that people say, Boser ganva ganuv v'taymatoyim. Glancing at Rashi, a few lines up, you see in the Rashi, Boser ganva ganuv v'chulei, hagoinev min haganov, one who steals from a thief, aphu toyem ta'am geneva. This story, in my humble opinion, is a bit unclear. The Marshal points out that the analogy and this saying doesn't exactly characterize the incident. So if I may be allowed to offer my own comment here, it could be that Rav Huna didn't hasten to distribute the branches to the worker at a relatively early time. Rather, he may have delayed, but until he came to distributing them, the worker in the meantime, he just took them all. And they're saying to Rav Huna that, you know, you did something improper, and he who steals from a thief also gets a little taste of thievery. The Gemara continues, Omar Luhu, Rav Huna said, Kabilno alai diahiv nole, I accept upon myself that I will give him his share. And as we offered in our own explanation, that he accepted upon himself to give the share in branches on time so as to prevent this situation from arising. So he accepted upon himself to behave, let's say, better in the future on this matter. Iko di amri hodar cholav ohave chamro. One version is that the wine that went sour actually turned back into wine. Chola is vinegar, so that the wine that had went sour turning into vinegar turned back into wine. The iko di amri, another version is aikur chola v'izdavin b'dmei dechamro. Vinegar became so expensive that it was sold at the price that ordinarily one would pay for wine. As we look on in the Gemara, we have another marking. We see a diamond with a colored in tip. And on the outside margin, under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we have an explanation. The diamond is introduces Brisos, Shel, Abo, Binyamin. We have Tanaic sources in which Abo, Binyamin is featured. Brisa number one, Shnei, Dvorim, Shabo, Binyamin, Hikpid, Lishmor, Alehem. Two things that that Abo, Binyamin was very careful about. One is Lo, Lasok, Bimalachti, Lifnei, Tfilas, Shachros. He wouldn't engage in any work, any personal activities until he davened Shachris. The morning davening. And number two, mikum mitoso, the positioning of his bed. Shihei tsofon dorom. It should be in a north-south direction with the head of the bed in the north and the feet in the south. Brisa number two, mi shesiem tfiloso kodem chavero, someone who finished davening in a shul before his friend. Chayv lamtin lo. He has to wait for his friend and not leave him alone in the shul. We'll see a third brisa, which you don't see on daf hey on mid base, but rather at the fourth line from the top of daf vav on mid aleph. There's a third brisa which deals with re'ias mazikin, noticing, seeing demonic forces. Spiritual forces that cause damage, and the ability to perceive them, to see them. And the fourth brisa, also found on Daf Vav, deals with filosos shelo nishmas rak beveis haknesses. The prayers, the davening of a person is heard by the Almighty, so to speak, only if he davens in shul. So now we continue with the Gemara. Tanya Abo Binyamin Oimer al shnei dvorim hoisi mitzayer kol yomai. Regarding two matters, I used to strain myself all of my life. Al tfilasi shtei lifnei mitosi. Regarding my davening should be. Now here we have to just give a literal translation so as to leave room for the Gemara to analyze this. But I was concerned about my tefillah being in front of my bed. The al mitasi shtei nesuna bein sofon ledorom, and the positioning of my bed shall be in a north-south direction. Now the Gemara analyzes these. Number one, you can see we've squiggle underline al tefillah shtei lifnei mitasi, and a few lines later a squiggle underline under al mitasi nesuna bein sofon ledorom, where the Gemara looks into these two points. So number one, al tefillah shtei lifnei mitasi. My lifnei mitasi, what does that mean? That his shmon esrei, his davening, should be in front of his bed. E lemo. You'll notice the dot underline, it highlights the stages of analysis. So, e lemo lifnei mitasi mamish, literally in front of his bed. In other words, he would stand in shmon esrei with his bed in front of him. And, well, avama rav yudah marav, itema rav yishub ben levi, it has been said that minayin lemispalel shelo yehe dover choitzes beino levein akir. From where do we know that a person who davens his shmon esrei, that nothing should serve as a block, an interposition between himself and the wall? A person should be facing a wall when he davens with nothing between him. Shenema vayasev chizkio ponovel akir vayispalel. It says that the king Chizkio turned to the wall and davened. So what does it mean that he was always careful to daven lifnei mitasi? So the Gemara explains, lo temo lifnei, you notice the dot underlines the second stage, lo temo lifnei mitasi, don't say with the bed literally in front of him when he davened, ela emo samuch lemitasi. Means next to next to, not in a physical sense, but in a time sense, next to his bed. So what was he saying? I was always careful that my tefillah, my davening, should be soon after I got up from sleeping. The Rashi says, "Somach lemitasi kol yomai nizharti shalalasos melocha v'shalasok b'torok shemadati mimitasi ad she'ekru kriyashma v'spalel." I was very careful not to engage in work. And then Rashi adds something that needs some explanation. But he says, "I wouldn't even study Torah until from the point that I got up in the morning until I would." Say the Kriyashma and Davin. In other words, engage in nothing between getting up from bed and his davening. The Gemara continues, V'al mitosi shitein nesuna bein sofon ledorom. This idea of his bed being positioned north-south, what is the significance of that? Yomer of Chamob Rabbi Chanina, Omer Rabbi Yitzchok, kol anoisein mitosu bein sofon ledorom, havion leibonim zechorom. A person who positions his bed north-south, will merit having male children. Shnemar utzfuncha. Notice the word tzfuncha is reminiscent of the word tzafon. Utzfuncha tamale bitnom yisbeu bonim. So if one is makbid, one is concerned with tzafon, with a north-south positioning of his bed, he will merit having male children. There is more to say on this topic, which in Mirtz Hashem we will see in the Tosfos later on. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Amar Af Ein Ishto Mapelas Nefilim. A person who is careful to have his bed positioned north-south, his wife will be spared from miscarriages. Ksiv Hocha Tzfuncha Temale Bitnam. It says here the idea of Tzfuncha, which we mentioned, has associated with Tzafon. Temale is a reference to a completion of the days of pregnancy. And you see in the context of birth also that her birth days, her pregnancy was completed and behold, she had twins in her midst. The point being, for our purposes, is that a person who's makbid on Safon will be spared of a miscarriage. Tanya, Abu Binyamin Oimer, Shnayim Shenichasu Lispalel, two people that went together into a shul to daven, Bekidem Echad Mehem Lispalel, Velo Himtin Es Chavero V'yotza, and he finished davening and didn't wait for his friend and went out, Torfin Loit Filoso Befonov. So his own davening is ripped up in front of him. Shinemar, Toireif Nafsho Be'apoi, Haleman Cho Te'ozev Oretz. Taking a look at Rashi, Toreif Nafsho Bapo, Luchoimer, Atogaramta Lucho, Lichrothes Nafshecha Befonecha. You caused your davening to be torn up. Umahi, Hanefesh. What is Hanefesh? Zut Filo, Kamoshnema, Veshboch es Nafshi, Lifnei Hashem. See, word, you see the word Nefesh is associated with davening. So that in this pasuk, we see, as Rashi says, that you cause your own prayers to be ripped up, so to speak, by what? By not waiting for your friend. The Rashi explains, Halaman ho tazav oretz, v'chisavur ho'yisa shebishvil ho, shiyotzosa, because you who left, and now the Bach adds here, shiyotzosa mi beis ha'kneses, v'nachta chaver ho, and you left your friend behind, tistale kashchina, the Azov is Chavercha Mispalu Lefonov, and that you left, in other words, you finished, you left, there's no more divine presence for your friend? Well, that's not true. Your friend is davening, there's a divine presence there, you should have waited for him. Continuing in the Gemara, so we said that a person who doesn't wait for his friend causes his own davening, his own prayer to be torn up. V'lo'od ela shigurim l'shchino shetestalek mi'Yisrael. Behavior like this causes the divine presence to depart from amongst the Jewish people. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, in the same context, we're talking about a Pasuk in Iyov, Perek Yudches, Pasuk Dalid. It says in the same Pasuk, Vayetak Tzur Mimakomo. The Tzur departs from its place. V'ein Tzur El HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the word Tzur is a reference to the Almighty. Shenemar, Tzur Yelodcha Teshi. That being a reference, Tzur is a reference to the Almighty. V'im himtin lo mascharo, and if a person waits for his friend, so what merit does he deserve? We continue at the top of Daf Vav Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Zeche lebrochos halolu. He merits the following blessing. Shneamar, the pasuk says, Lu hikshafto lemitzvosai. This is the Lu hikshafto is a loshon, is an expression meaning waiting. If you would have waited lemitzvosai to do a good turn, in this case to wait for your friend. Vayi kenor shlomecho v'zikoska lehayam. Vayi kechol zerecho v'tzeitze me'echo v'chulei. If one looks into that pasuk, one will see quite a bit of reward afforded to one who is gomel chesed, who waits for his friend. In this case, he waits for his friend to finish the davening and not leave him there alone. This concludes today's Gemara section. For those who are interested, there follows a shiur on today's Tosfos. We now turn to our Tosfos segment of our shiur. You'll notice that on Daf Hey Amud Aleph there are no Tosfos commentaries. We therefore continue with Daf Hey Amud Beis at the top. Ha lon v'ha lahu. This was at a point in the Gemara that we were resolving what seemed to be a contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan regarding the issue of Negoyim. Are they Yisurin Shel Ava or not? Tosfos introduces this with Rashi's commentary. Pirush Rashi, Livnei Eretz Yisrael, for the dwellers, the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, Shetzrichem Shiluach Chutz L'Shloisho Machanois, Loi Havu Yisurin Shalavo. In Eretz Yisrael, a person who is afflicted by Negoyim, his affliction is dealt with by his being sent out of the three camps, which for our purposes means sent out of his community. If you're dealing with someone living in a walled city, he's sent out of his community. The Shalosh Machnos is an expression that's based on the Jews in the Midbar, where there was a Machne Shechina, Machne Levia, and Machne Yisrael, which represented the bulk of the Jewish community, and a Metzora was sent, Negoim is associated with Tzoras, was sent out of the three camps. So as far as Rashi is concerned, it's in Eretz Yisrael, it's not Yisurin Shalavo, insofar as they were dealt with through this approach, being sent out of the community. And bearing in mind that this is Rabbi Yochanan who is speaking. The Gemara, the Tosfos asks, "V'teima de shiluach machnos lo haya noheg elo bizman shehayovel noheg ubote ore choyma." The rule of a Metzora being sent out of the community was binding only in the time that the Yovel was binding. And the whole practice of Yovel, of counting seven Shemitah cycles, concluding with a 50th year being called the Yovel year, and all of the accompanying halachas, this stopped being in practice already in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, so that when Yovel is no longer in practice and the rules of walled cities are no longer in practice, in the times of the Amoraim there was no Yovel practice, kidamrin b'maseches Gittin, as it says over there in Gittin, v'heichoye medabi Rabbi Yochanan midavor shelohoye noheg biyomav. How could Rabbi Yochanan be speaking about something that wasn't practiced in his time whatsoever? Rabbi Yochanan being in the time of the Amoraim, many, many years after the dinim of Yovel and Botei Orei Choma stopped being practiced. So the question then is, according to the Tosfos, what is the difference between B'nai Eretz Yisrael and B'nai Bavel, Ha'lon v'Ha'lahu, for there is for us and there is for them. So the Tosfos explains, V'yesh Meforshim, Ha'lon v'Ha'lahu, Le'inyin Tuma, Shinizhoren b'Eretz Yisrael, V'lo b'Bavel. So if a person was a Metzora, though he wasn't sent out of his community per se, but he still was Tomei, and the rules concerning ritual purity were still practiced in the time of the early Amoroyim. which is the time of Rabbi Yochanan. So that in Eretz Israel, where issues of purity must be maintained, so there we would say that Negoim is not Yisurin Shel Avo. However, in Bavel, where there is no other manifestation or practical bearing on Negoim, so one who's afflicted in Bavel with Negoim, we conclude it must be Yisurin Shel Avo. The next Tosfos, the Omar of Yochanan, Dein Gorama de Asira Bir. Rabbi Yochanan originally made a comment that Bonim are not Yisurin Shel Avo. Upon this, the Gemara asks, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that when he used to show the tenth bone or tooth of his son, of, in other words, of his tenth son, indicating that Rabbi Yochanan had buried 10 children, and he preserved the 10th son, the tooth, that is, or fragment of bone of that 10th child to show people. The the Rashi himself mentioned that how is this a sign of Yisurin Shel Avo? Well, it's because a man of that stature of piety, of Rabbi Yochanan, there is no other explanation for it other than the fact that he that it must be Yisurin Shel Avo. Now, we have to bear in mind that after this, the Gemara went on to say, so then if burying children is not Yisurin Shel Avo, if burying children is Yisurin Shel Avo, as Rashi says, a pious man like Rabbi Yochanan, there's no other explanation for it, so then what's the case of the opening statement of Rabbi Yochanan that Bonim are not Yisurin Shel Avo? Well, that's a reference to people that never had children. Now, the Tosfos. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan Dein Groma Dasi Rabir, Pirush Rashi, the La'odam Choshuv, Rabbi Yochanan Mistamo Lohoyu Elo Yisurin Shel Avo. For a person as righteous as Rabbi Yochanan, it must be that the death of his children was Yisurin Shel Avo. So that Rashi's proof is from the righteousness level of Rabbi Yochanan. That means that that which befell him must be Yisurin Shel Avo. The tema, the question though, is raised. The Hamasik, the Gemara concludes, however, the Hecha de Lo Havu Le Bonim Klal, a person who had no children, Lo Havu Yisurin Shel Avo. Then that is not considered Yisurin Shel Avo. But now, what did Rashi emphasize? The proof was based on the piety level of the individual. Well, Vahare Kamot Sadikim Shelo Hoyu Lohem Bonim. There were many very pious people who had no children. So if the proof of something being Yisurin Shel Avo is a piety level, then it would come out that someone who had no children whatsoever also, that should be considered Yisurin Shel Avo. And yet the Gemara says that having had no children is not Yisurin Shel Avo. V'i Mishum Bonos. And if you'll say that if a person has daughters, then the lack of male children is not considered Yisurin Shel Avo. That if a person has bonos, then the lack of zechorim is not considered Yisurin Shel Avo. Well, Rabbi Yochanan Nami Havu Le Bonos. Rabbi Yochanan happened to have daughters, Beperek Basra de Kiddushin, as we see at the end of Maseches Kiddushin. Therefore, the fact that someone has daughters is not a basis for saying that you're dealing with non Yisurin Shel Avo. V'nira lefaresh, d'hochi porach. So the Tosfos explains that thusly we are to understand the Gemara's question when on the original statement of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that bonim are not yisurin shalava. The Gemara asks, "Va'om Rabbi Yochanan dein groma." This is Rabbi Yochanan himself would show. This is the bone of my tenth son. Alma midahave rogil lenachem achirim bekach. From the fact that he was accustomed to consoling others who lost their children, who buried their child, he would console them with the bone of the child, of his own child that he buried. Shma mino dahavu isurin shalavo. It must be that that is the consolation, by telling the bereaved individual that you should be aware that the trouble that you are, the pain that you are suffering is this very high level of pain called isurin shalavo. Aval eino tolui betach shat tzadikim atzmam pa'omim meunin b'yisurin. But the establishing of whether or not something is yisurin shalava is not dependent whatsoever on piety level. The piety level and the person suffering is not a reflection upon the yisurin shalava aspect of things or not. Hochi Garcino, the next Tosfos, lo kol odom zeche l'shtei shulchanos. If you recall, in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan was trying to understand or console Rabbi Elazar, who was crying, and he noticed that Rabbi Elazar was a very impoverished individual. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Listen, not everyone merits both wealth and wisdom and Torah scholarship." That is the text as we have it. Aval ein ligros, Tosfos points out that you should not have the following text. Ein odom zoche. You shouldn't have a text which reads that a person does not merit both. Because the hakama tzadikim zochen l'shtei shulchanos. There were a number of righteous individuals who did have both. Kagon Rebbe, as one can learn about Rebbe in Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Pehe, Uchadamrinan, Beperek Basr de Horius, and as is stated at the end of Maseches Horius, where you have tzaddikim that benefited from both great wealth and great Torah scholarship. However, at times, that's only at times. The Tosfos continues, Dina below Dina. When the Rabbanan visited Rav Huna, they said to him, after Rav Huna exclaimed, "Oh, am I suspect of some sinning, and as a result my wine went bad?" So they responded to Rav Huna and said, "Is the Almighty suspect of bringing troubles on a person for no reason?" Harbe tzadikim yesh sheloikin begufan uvemamonam. The Tosfos says there are many people that are truly righteous that are afflicted bodily and financially, and not being associated with a sin per se. So, what were they saying to Rav Huna when they said, "Well, would the Almighty bring troubles without reason?" Elo hein hoyu yoidim shelohoya noisein shavisha larisei. The visitors who came to Rav Huna, they knew as a fact that he wasn't distributing the branches to his sharecropper, as we explained, on time. So they attempted to hint to him. Their initial comment to him was, look into your ways. That was a hint to something they already knew, but they didn't want to tell it to him straight out. They tried to hint to him that he would pick up on it on his own. But after he didn't pick up on the hint, so they in fact said it straight out. But in the absence of, let's say, prior knowledge of a specific wrongdoing, and you see a tzaddik who is suffering, whether it be financially or bodily, you wouldn't necessarily go to him and say, "Look into your ways." As Tosfos says, there are situations of very pious individuals, and this relates to the general topic of Yisurin Shalava, of people experiencing pain and suffering, in order to grant them additional merit, but not a function of sin.
Shelo Yehedover Chotzeitz Beino Levein Hakir. We saw in our Gemara that Abba Binyamin was very makbid on having on his davening being near his bed, and we explained it couldn't mean with the bed in front of him while he's davening. And that's what was meant. Shalehei dover choseis. It should be nothing separating beino, between the one who's davening and the kir, the wall. Avol milsa de kviyah kagon aron v'teva, something that's fixed in place. Often there are wall closets or built-in chests or things that are very rarely moved. They're positioned in on a long-term permanent basis. If one were to daven in front of a built-in wall closet or heavy chest of drawers or that a bureau that one doesn't move, that would not be a hefsek, an interruption, an interposition. Avomita, a bed nira she'ein zekavua, a bed is not as permanent as a heavy bureau, and therefore the bed does present a hefsek problem.
The next Tosfos, Ela Emo, Somuch Lemitasi. We saw that we understood Abel Binyamin, who said that he was mitzvah all his days, that his tefillah should be lifnei mitasi, really lifnei meant next to. What does that mean, next to? In terms of time, that as soon as he woke up, he would not engage in any other activity before he would say Kriyat Shema and Shmoneh Esrei and Davin. So, Tosfos quotes Rashi, Shelo hoya oise molocho ad shiyispalel. He wouldn't engage in any work until he would daven. V'Rashi pirei shafil lumoid she'osu lumoid kodem tefila. Even Torah study he would not do before his davening. On this, Tosfos comments, V'lo yodati minole. I don't know from where does Rashi get that there is some type of prohibition to engage in Torah study before the before davening in the morning. Avol raya deshori lilmoid koidim. If anything, I can show you proof that it is one is allowed to learn Torah before Kriyat Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. Delekamon beperek sheni amrinon, in the second perek of our Masechta, it is said, derav makdim umoshi yode umavorech umasni pirkei v'kori Kriyat Shema ki moto zman Kriyat Shema. That Rav would wake up, he would wash his hands, say brochus, and learn Torah. He would learn his Torah learning, and then say Kriyat Shema. Now, it can be explained possibly as the Meforshim get into this topic, that there may very well be a difference between someone who wakes up before the Zman Kriyat Shema has arrived at all, and of course under circumstances like that one would certainly be allowed to study Torah. After all, what else do you expect of him to sit doing nothing? However, after, if one wakes up and it's already the time for Torah learning, the time for Kriyat Shema has already arrived, so maybe under those circumstances one would be expected to first engage in the Kriyat Shema and then and the Shemoneh Esrei, and only then get into his Torah learning. But that topic can be investigated further by looking into the various Meforshim. Another thing that Abel Binyamin practiced was the positioning of his bed. The Tosfos says, "Kol anoisei mitosa bein tzofon ledarom v'chulei, v'lo bein mizrach lemarov," and not in an east-west position. V'davka kishiyoshein im ishto. This requirement or expectation of having the bed positioned north-south is only when a man is with his wife. V'tnei shashchina mitzuya bein mizrach lemarov. The divine presence is located in an east-west position, and it would be lacking in respect to for a person to be engaged in intimacy in the same position as the Shechina, the Divine Presence, is located. Mashma umuchi kroy, and that thusly it seems that the whole point of being careful about bed positioning and sleep is only when one is with his wife, and thusly it would seem to be evident from the psukim as well. There is a Tosfos on Daf Vov Amud Aleph which is out of place. It belongs on Daf Hey Amud Beis, and it concerns the Gemara at the very bottom of Daf Hey Omid Beis, one who finishes davening and while his friend is still davening and leaves the friend alone in the shul. So the Tosfos at the top of Daf Vov, Hamispalel Velohimtin Es Chavero, a person who finishes davening and doesn't wait for his friend to finish and leaves him behind. Torfino, the Gemara said, his Shmon Esri is davening, his prayers are torn up. Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, the Zeh Hoyo Lohem Bebotei Knesiyos Shelahem, this requirement of staying and waiting for your friend, not leaving him alone, was relevant to shuls that were in the times of the Gemara, Shehoyu Basodeh. They were shuls that were located in the fields. They were not in town. Ulekach Balaylo Yesh Lahamtin, and therefore at night there is reason to wait. Now, this comment of Tosfos regarding the nighttime, it could be taken to understand that this applies even for us, where our shuls are in town. That, namely, when you're coming to the issue of the night, where there are very few people around, then you have to wait, regardless of where the shul is located. Even if the shul is in town, one would be expected to wait. And so that's what Tosfos is meaning when it says ulekach, and therefore, just like their shuls were located in the fields, and you were always alone if the shul was located in an uninhabited area, so too it applies to us when it comes to the nighttime when you would leave shul and it would be the streets would be empty. You therefore have to wait. We also have to wait. V'ri hoya ma'achert filasa umarich ad sheyetsu kulam. The re would daven a long davening, making sure that everyone else would leave the shul. V'im besoch kach hoya shum adam bo v'reis hakneses. And if in the interim someone would come to shul, he'd come late to shul, and the re would have finished davening. He would look in a sefer. He would learn until those people who came late, would finish their davening, so as not to leave them alone. And it is fitting for us to extend ourselves in that way as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.